Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast. I am Abby.
I'm Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome, season 7.
I'm honestly, which is incredible that we're here.
Yes, I'm so proud of us. I'm so proud of you. Proud of the listeners.
There's so many things that have happened, like iconic Grey's things that we are like past,
like way past.
Yeah,
we're like Denny was five seasons ago.
We're almost into the realm of things where
I would almost call it like non-Grey's canon.
you know? Like it's not the iconic original Grey's. Yeah. We're losing, people are dropping like flies.
Right.
It's only going to get worse.
It's funny though, because we've talked about before, now that it's like going into season 16, that some of these episodes that we're about to get into at the time didn't feel like iconic Grey's, but now
because
so much time has gone past,
right,
they are.
Yeah, so welcome to season 7. Dude.
Yeah. This is, the whole season is dedicated to the musical episode.
Honestly, yeah, oh, that's important to just hit right now.
Yeah.
We have made it to that season.
I never thought, like, that seems so far away. There were so many jokes about it in, like, the first and second season. We're like, oh, the musical episode. And now we're literally only a couple weeks away from talking about it.
Which is crazy.
And then what, I mean, like, then where do we go from there? We go down.
We might as well end it then.
Yeah.
We have some announcements. Should we just jump right
in? Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay, well, first of all, if this is your first time listening, we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast that deep dives every episode. We are, like we just said, in season 7. We do spoilers, so if you haven't gone forward, I'm so sorry. And
maybe just catch up.
Yeah, just catch up. Unless you live in a different country.
You've had 16 years.
And you don't have, those seasons yet.
Yeah.
So one of the best things that I think that we have is our Patreon page. If you go to www.patreon.com/theoncallroom, you can find a ton of ways that you can get involved, get more content, and help support us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we always talk about is for our $2 patrons, which is, we call you interns. We have a Facebook group that is private. You have to be a patron to join it. And we just like want to talk about it for a second and just say that our hope for it is that after you listen to the podcast, if you have thoughts or you feel like a podcast ghost that had so many things you wanted to say, that is the place to do it.
Right.
We want to connect you with other listeners.
Right. Because isn't it so exciting when you find out that, oh my God, someone loves Cher as much as I do. So you go on this page and you talk about your favorite Cher songs.
Yes.
Right?
It's just like that.
And so this is a space for Grey's Anatomy. And so I think it's so cool to like watch people and see what people are talking about in there. And I just hope that if you have, like Abby said, like if you have thoughts about the episode that was just posted, like chat in the Facebook group. Join in. Like, I feel like at that point, I want to hear what everyone else has to say. Abby and I have just talked about it for an hour and a half, 2 hours. We want to hear what you guys have to say.
Yeah. And even like we just had recently 2 patrons that had met through the group, met in real life.
Amazing.
Which is really crazy. Yeah. Like super crazy and really amazing. So, our hope is that you guys build a community, and can just like make like online friends through that. It's like an old school chat room, but better.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't know, they don't know where you live.
Right.
No,
unless
ASL.
You tell them.
Oh my God, we should do ASL.
What is ASL?
Age, sex, location, except not location maybe.
Oh yeah, it could get dangerous.
Yeah.
None of our people are dangerous.
No. But like, so that is the way to connect with other listeners. If you want to connect directly with Bree and I, we recommend becoming an attending. An attending pays $10 a month and they get to co-host the podcast.
Right.
So we call you in and we have you on for an entire discussion about 2 episodes. And that's like the best way to directly relate to us. We love meeting you guys that way. It's really fun.
You also get to continue to connect with us through monthly Zoom meetings.
I guess what do we call them?
Like
so
hangouts?
Lame.
I'm going to call them Zoom hangouts.
Yeah, we need to call it something. Like, it's a meeting like in the on-call room.
Oh my God, it is. But it's
come
not.
Join us in the on-call room.
That's great. I love it. That is what it's.
Or like old dead man's group.
What?
Where they all ate lunch. The one.
Oh yeah.
His guy.
Yeah. We'll have to come. We'll come up with a name for it.
Yeah.
But so, you know, after you've had your opportunity to be on the podcast monthly, you still get to hang out with us. We did one tonight. It was so much fun. We chatted about the upcoming season of Grey's Anatomy and a lot of other really fun things.
Backstreet Boys.
Maybe some stories that like Abby and I don't choose not to tell on the podcast. We sometimes talk about in these Zoom meetings.
Absolutely.
So, that's a great way. That's also at the $10.
Yep.
Attending.
And we're adding another incentive for $2 patrons. We're going to put our show notes on the patron page. So before Bree and I record, now that we're very responsible, we have all of our notes that we constantly refer to in the episode, and we're going to share those with you, like the actual document, so that you can like check them out before you listen or
follow along.
See like Bree's funny shorthand in it, and like mine are like too detailed sometimes.
Yeah, maybe you can try and figure out what I mean because I don't even know what I mean yes. half the time in my notes.
Yeah, so we're going to add that for $2 patrons. So
right.
$2 a month. Super easy.
Super easy. Another great way to support the podcast is to leave a review. We're always asking for 5 scalpels, and we appreciate everyone who's already left a review. Tell all your friends. Tell your friends about the podcast. Say like, hey, come over and let's listen to this. Let's put it on the stereo together.
Oh my God, a podcast party.
Yeah, and let's just pour a glass of wine and giggle together.
That's perfect.
With these two ladies.
Yeah, so please do that. It's super easy and it helps us a lot. One other, well, just real quick, you can follow us on Instagram at The On-Call Room Pod. And we also have a website, www.theoncallroompod.com. If you want to listen through SoundCloud or you want to shoot us a message, there's like a contact form there. We have 2 big announcements. One is.
I thought you said tubing.
Tubing.
We have 2 big announcements.
We have 2 big announcements. We'll be going tubing. Just kidding.
And you're all invited.
On September 26th.
That's when it will be.
That's when we're going tubing. That is when Grey's Anatomy premieres. Season
16.
We are going to be going live on a Zoom. God, we got to have a name for it. We're going to be in.
We'll be in the on-call room.
We'll be having sex in the on-call room.
Watch out. On video chat.
On September 26th, immediately following the premiere of season 16. So in order to get access, we're going to do that for all patrons, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. So even $2 ones.
Right.
This is the only one you're invited to.
Yeah.
So become a patron before September 26th and you will get invited to that. You can chat on it. Like we're going to make it so that like everyone can give their thoughts on the premiere. We hope to have a bunch of people there. I'm really excited about it.
Yes.
Bring a drink.
Yeah. It's going to be like a little party.
Yeah.
And then we have one more big announcement.
Yeah, why don't you share it?
So like we said, this is the season of the musical episode. This is where Owen
stand down and get straight.
This is that time. We want to make this episode super special. So many people have so many thoughts and opinions. I feel like you either love this episode or you absolutely
yes.
hate it. I don't feel like there's really a middle ground.
No.
So we want to hear from all of you, patrons and just listeners who are not a part of Patreon. And we're going to put all of your thoughts together and we're going to try and create this really great episode for you. So in order to do that, we need you to send us your thoughts to our email address, theoncallroom@gmail.com, and leave a voice memo. So we want to actually hear what you have to say.
Yeah, so you can do this on, I know for sure an iPhone, I'm assuming all phones have it, but there's a literal app called Voice Memo,
mm-hmm.
and just hold it up to your face and record your thoughts. Don't stress too much about like, you know, what you say, if you say or like, we don't know what we're doing and here we are. We would love to hear your thoughts, good or bad, favorite parts, if you want to sing a
yeah.
portion of it, if you want to perform with your friends a section of it, just what we want everything.
Right. And this is only in regards to the musical episode.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And I would say like, try to not make it 10 minutes long because it'll get cut.
Yeah.
but yeah, email us that voice memo And we will.
And please start doing it soon because we're going to have to put this together. And we will have a cut off date probably next episode we air. We'll let you know when you have to have those invites.
Yes. So get on that now. Watch it ahead of time. Watch it twice.
Yeah. Just think about it. You know, like meditate upon it and really try and figure out how you feel. Ground yourself before you watch the episode.
Please,
damn it.
Ground yourself.
Please get your healing crystals around you. Protect yourself from the musical episode. And let's dive deep into that witchcraft.
And if any of you are like have a choir that you're a part of, maybe like email us because it'd be fun to have like a rendition.
Yeah, it's something. Or if you're a musician yourself and you want to maybe do an intro or something.
Oh my God, yeah. If you like want to find one of the songs and play a little section of it.
Yeah,
we'd love that.
Yeah, so.
Just get creative. Have fun with it. Share your thoughts. Like it's going to be a funny and a really fucking long episode.
Yeah, so I think those are all of our announcements unless you have anything else.
No, we'll just take a little quick break and we'll get into just the rest of the episode.
Sounds good.
Okay, so... So,
Abby, how old are you?
Well, that's rude because Kevin from the Backstreet Boys is 49.
Yeah.
So, I'm...
So, why are you talking about Kevin from the Backstreet Boys?
So, I'm 30.
Yeah.
And 26 years ago... Jesus, they were... Yeah, they're a lot older than us. 26 years ago, when I was just a mere 4 years old...
That's how old you were?
I'm 30. Did I do math right?
No, when they became a thing.
Yeah, so they were a thing before we knew they were a thing. If you look it up on YouTube, they performed on weird talk shows that look like they're from the 50s, like a performance show. But the Backstreet Boys were formed.
Okay.
I would
By
say,
that guy.
What?
Who, like, also created, like, a
He's
lot.
He's not making the band. They weren't P. Diddy.
No. Who?
That was O-Town.
Okay.
Okay, but...
Or their manager. Lou Pearlman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So I feel like I joined the Backstreet Boys Club in like 1996 it was even later. I bet it was when their second or third Millennium came out. Then I really found the other ones. Mm. But it was when TRL, you know.
Total Request Live.
Total Request Live. The man of music.
Carson Daly.
Like the face of music to me.
Yeah. What's he on now? He was on American Idol.
The Voice.
Oh, The Voice.
Don't get it twisted.
I'm so sorry.
Anyways, I went to a I went to a Backstreet Boys concert on Monday, and here are my takeaways.
Number one.
Bree's heard them like twice now, but it's fine. Number one, even if you like you look at photos of them, you're like, they're not cute. What was I thinking? When they're singing those songs that like-
Are so seductive.
Music to me is very nostalgic, like visceral. Like a song can bring me back to a place immediately. And hearing them sing these songs that I heard when I was an impressionable middle schooler and elementary schooler, like I went from being like, wow, Nick Carter looks a little rough to like, holy shit, he's the hottest man alive.
Yeah.
He's a heartthrob. I use the term heartthrob.
Yeah.
It was just magical. They are really good at singing still. They didn't dance as much as I think they used to, but still like quite well.
I'm going to say something.
Yeah, tell me.
I, growing up, had an opinion that, and I will stand by it to this day, that the Backstreet Boys were the better singers and NSYNC were the better dancers.
Oh, 1,000%.
So
wow,
I think—
I love that take. I didn't know
and
that.
And so like, I'm not even surprised that they didn't dance. I'm sure they don't dance as much as they used to, but they weren't ever really great dancers.
That's true. They're a little awkward.
Yeah. NSYNC was all about the dancing.
Right. 100%. Yeah. Nick Carter was really good at dancing, but he was on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
And so I felt like he had a one-up.
Yeah.
Also,
how long did they perform for and who was
2 hours.
Wow, that's a long show.
Their opener was Brian's son, which makes you know how old they are.
That's kind of sweet though.
Because he's like in his he's got to be close to upper teens. Like he's kind of country because they're from Lexington, Brian and Kevin, who are cousins. Kevin looks like a wax figurine. I remember being in middle school and kind of wanting to be different and like claiming him as the one.
Yeah, I remember that too. Me too.
Yeah, but I take it all back.
Yeah, okay.
Like he's much too old and just.
Ooh. Yeah, I just looked up an image.
He does
look like a wax figurine.
Yes. Look up AJ McLean because he's kind of cute.
Wait, but he's kind of cute, Kevin is.
Kevin, but too scary. Like, what's with his skin?
Oh, AJ. Ooh,
AJ. Are you looking at old or new?
Ooh, wait, look at the old. Ooh.
Oh, yeah, the old is... Yeah, the old is bad, but look at the new. Like,
I don't think he looks that good.
Look at Howie. He's aged the best.
Although he kind of looks like Lin-Manuel Miranda.
No, that's what Howie looks like. Look at Howie. Okay. Is this because they're... Yeah, I don't know. Look at Howie. I was thinking Lin-Manuel the entire time. Since he's older.
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
But yeah, no. So they...
Ooh, Howie. Not great photo.
Not before.
No, I know.
Howie has the hottest wife. Like, in...
I remember also, Howie had a ponytail, right?
Yes.
I remember, like...
And that weird middle part.
Yeah,
situation.
I remember liking Howie.
But Nick, to me, I think I never wanted to admit Nick was my favorite. It was, like, being too basic.
Yeah. Nick was not my favorite.
But he was mine secretly and, like, is now, I think. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's had a hard life, a really hard life. And
yeah.
So I think over half of them have been to rehab and are out. So props to them.
I know AJ was in. I think he went on Oprah and talked about it.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
And just recently, too. So, but honestly, it was like they had their arms around each other. Like, it truly looked like they were having a great time.
That is nice. Because sometimes you're like, fuck, these people are touring again and they don't want to be here.
No, this was so much fun.
Like Britney Spears.
Right. In between every set, like, there was a lot of like, holy shit, you guys, 26 years, we are so thankful for you.
Yeah.
They did a whole thing where they were like going down the line and asking how old they were when they started. And like, they were talking about how like Nick was only 12.
I want to know, what was the crowd like? Was it like people our age?
It's so fucking loud.
No, I just mean age range.
Yeah, it was mostly women. And I would say, yeah, like I didn't see any young girls there.
Yeah.
It was all, so many people had shirts that they'd made.
Aww.
People wore tour shirts from like different years.
Oh, that's fun.
It was like the girls next to me that I didn't know because I was on the end. Or not the end, but I was like, I turned to them right when we got there and I was like, just so you know, and I was kind of drunk. I was like, I'm gonna have to pee. I was like, I promise to do it in a song that is new that we don't know and maybe a slow song.
Yeah.
And I was like, but please let me through. Like, yeah. It was this really tight. And the one girl was like, absolutely. The other girl was like, nope, you're only getting to hear, like being funny. And then this song started and AJ's singing and it's like slow. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck this is. And I turned to them and she's like, I gotta go too. Our whole row went to go pee because we were like, ladies, this is our chance.
This is the moment.
And we like ran to the bathroom, waited for each other as a group, and then ran back.
That's fun.
It was very bonding.
Yeah.
It was really fun. Like, I felt so much like elation joy where you're just like, and singing and screaming.
Yeah.
And arm dancing because that's like all you have room for.
Yeah.
Those
are fun shows.
I know. I really wish NSYNC would come back.
I really wish I could see the Spice Girls.
Oh, God. They have to do a U.S. tour.
Yeah. And if they do, we absolutely have to go together.
Yeah, like, I should start saving now.
Oh, for sure.
But I know you're sad about not seeing Celine, and I am too, because I saw signs for that concert.
Yeah, she's coming to, because she's been in Vegas for so long,
right.
And I think the worst decision I ever made is when I went to Vegas.
We did, yeah.
I didn't go, because I was like, I was on a really long trip, and so I was like, I can't spend my money on this. I'm here, like, out right. west for 2 weeks, you know? If I'm gonna see Celine, I'm gonna come directly to Vegas to see Celine.
Right.
And then she was
left.
Done with that, and then she's on tour, and then she's coming to Detroit on my birthday this year, which is just
feels
like...
serendipitous.
I know, but it kind of sucks too, because it's like a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it's not like a weekend. I don't know. And I immediately looked up tickets prices, and they were like the cheapest in the shittiest spot were like $100. Or
yeah.
like even 200. I think they were $200.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. She'll go on tour again. She's not dying.
Yeah, she's still out there.
Yeah, I mean, who I need to see before she dies is
Barbara. She's touring right now.
No, she doesn't tour. She only performs in New York now.
No, my friends just saw her in Phoenix.
Oh, she is touring.
She is touring.
There's no... Her tickets are like $400.
Oh, yeah. She's a legend.
Yeah.
I'll do that. I will bring you to Barbara before you die.
Oh, my God.
Bringing to her gravesite.
I would just cry the whole time. Like, I don't even think... I think I would just be shaking uncontrollably.
What was your first concert?
Cher.
Really?
Her first farewell tour. She's had like 8 cents. Yeah. It was great. It was so good.
How old were you?
Fifth grade.
And that was her farewell to
That was her farewell.
What did she think? She was dying?
She was like, I don't know. It got everyone to be like, yeah, we're going. And then the second one, they're like, oh, second time around. The third one, people were like, wait.
That's like Heather McMahon is calling her first tour her farewell tour in case she never goes again. That's or great. Because people always buy tickets to a farewell tour.
That's really funny.
It's so smart.
Yeah.
Mine was Britney Spears. It was at the Van Andel.
Yeah, mine was at Van Andel too.
And LFO opened.
Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace.
I think Reba was there. Yeah. I did not get to see that. I never really got to go to like younger teen.
Yeah. That was the
like,
only one.
Concerts. I got to go to the Beach Boys. Got to go to Cher. Journey. Not with Steve Perry. That's his name, right?
Do you remember Christina Aguilera performed at the Tulip Festival in Holland?
No.
She did.
Do you remember that John Bon Jovi played at Al Gore's like thing in Grand Rapids?
Yeah. Also, the saddest, but like not because everything's fine now, is that my parents took me and my childhood best friend Ashley to the Britney Spears concert. That was the last thing we did as a family before they got a divorce.
That's so sad.
I know. It came up in conversation, my mom, because they had told me at that point, like they were getting a divorce, but that was the like last event. Thing. And it was, I remember we ate it. Is there still an Applebee's downtown? There used to be.
No, there's not.
There used to be though. And we ate at Applebee's. And went to Britney Spears, and that was
the and last. That was it. That was it. That broke the.
How fucking funny is that in retrospect?
Oh my God!
They're probably like, Jesus Christ, get me out of this marriage
right now.
Oh, so that's funny to me.
That is really funny.
Maybe I'll buy them Britney Spears shirts for Christmas.
Oh, that's funny.
Or something. Or I also,
tickets, make them go see Britney Spears together.
The best was for Christmas. I got the Britney Spears Barbie. And in the box were the tickets.
Did you just freak out?
But then the next day they told me they were getting a divorce.
Oh my God. Did they do that on purpose? They
probably like sugar me up. Yeah. First. Oh, wow. Repressed memories.
Yeah. Just coming out on the podcast. Holy shit.
Oh, so good.
Can't relate to that.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good. The concert was great. She did that Sonny and Cher song cover. It's on her first album. Yeah. I can't think of which one it is.
The Beat Goes On.
Yeah. And the lights got all groovy. Like, yeah. They looked like tie-dye. And I remember she did a lot of, like, if you can't see listeners, I'm sort
arm
of, like,
movements.
Making an S with my arms and rotating them. Yeah. She was trying to be Cher.
She's not Cher.
Funny that mine did a Cher song, but you saw actual Cher.
And it was phenomenal. She came down on a chandelier. She was wearing this big fur coat. Only to be with you.
I would love to see her.
And I was like, oh my God, that's Cher coming down on a chandelier. And then she like took her fur coat off and had some
beaded thing.
Yeah.
We should have seen the Cher show on Broadway.
I know. It's coming to Chicago.
Oh, okay, good.
So we could go see it in Chicago.
I kept saying during the Backstreet Boys concert that if those screens weren't there, those could be imitators. Because I was so far away that like, I could not see their faces. They
those
were tiny, blurry people.
Oh.
Yeah. So thank God the screens, though, proved it real.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So anyways, well.
Who is your person that you have to see before they die? Celine Dion?
Honestly, she's up there. I feel like I'm not a big, I wouldn't know enough of the songs. I'd be like, play Titanic. Yeah.
Play Titanic.
Yeah.
My heart will go on.
Yeah, thank you. I'd have to think about that. I'm not sure. NSYNC is up there. Spice Girls is up there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's again, it's like if they...
I feel like I've seen so... I'm very lucky. I feel like I've seen some of
my
tops.
A lot of big names.
Well, yeah. Like, I saw Shania Twain.
Oh, that's on my list too.
I always wanted to see her. I saw Martina McBride. I always wanted... Like my childhood things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw Cher.
Yeah.
I saw Journey twice.
Yeah, those are good.
I saw Fleetwood Mac.
I think I just don't have a lot of artists... This is, I listen to so many musicals and like,
yeah.
Or like old music, but I don't have that many like icons.
Yeah.
I've seen Jason Mraz 1,000 times. Like a lot of my favorite musics and concerts, like would be Nickel Creek, who are not a band together anymore.
Yeah.
And I've seen them. So I don't know.
You've seen Jason Mraz, right?
Like 7 or 8 times. Yeah.
Right. So you're,
and he's not that, like he's iconic to me, but not like.
Not like a big.
It's not hard to get a ticket.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
Well, maybe. It'd be
Who
cool
I
to see,
like... I love Jimmy Buffett, but I've seen him.
I love Jimmy Buffett. Sure do.
I sure do love Jimmy. I'd love to see the musical episode live. Grey's Anatomy.
Wow. We should make that.
Happen?
We should do it at, like, the Civic Theater.
Yeah, and get, like, people who are good at singing.
But we
sing
should direct it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But have other people sing it. You could sing it. I won't sing.
Am I going to be Callie?
You're going to lay it on a car? Yeah. That'd be hard to sing like that.
It would be.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, should we get into season 7?
I guess.
All right. We'll take a little break. Fill up your wine glasses, everyone. We'll be right back.
Clinky.
All right. Season 7.
Episode 1 and episode 2. When, nope, with you, I'm born again and shocked to the system.
What if it was called When I'm Born Again?
When I'm Born Again. Okay. Monologue. With you, I'm born again. Every cell in the human body regenerates on average every 7 years. Like snakes, in our own way, we shed our skin. Biologically, we are brand new people. We may look the same. We probably do. The change isn't visible, at least not in most of us. But we are all changed completely forever. When we say things like people don't change, it drives scientists crazy. Because change is literally the only constant in all of science. Energy, matter, it's always changing, morphing, merging, growing, dying. It's the way people try not to change that's unnatural. The way we cling to what things were instead of letting them be what they are. The way we cling to old memories instead of forming new ones. The way we insist on believing despite every scientific indication that anything in this lifetime is permanent. Change is constant. How we experience change, that's up to us. It can feel like death or it can feel like a second chance at life. If we open our fingers, loosen our grips, go with it, it can feel like pure adrenaline. Like at any moment, we can have another chance at life. Like at any moment, we can be born all over again. Meredith Grey.
Nice. The next one is Shock to the System, also by Meredith. They say lightning never strikes twice, but that's a myth. It doesn't happen often. Lightning usually gets it right the first time. When you're hit with the 30,000 amperes of electricity, you feel it. It can make you forget who you are. It can burn you, blind you, stop your heart, and cause massive internal injuries. But for something that happens in only a millisecond, it can change your life forever. Lightning doesn't strike twice. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Even if it feels like the shock is coming over and over again, eventually the pain will go away, the shock will wear off, and you start to heal yourself. To recover from something you never saw coming. But sometimes the odds are in your favor. If you're in just the right place at the right time, you can take a hell of a hit and still have a shot at surviving.
When you said the odds are in your favor, I thought of
Hunger Games. Yeah. Always. The odds are in your favor.
May the odds be ever in your favor. Shotgun workout.
I feel like it's a good two to pair together because they're all dealing with the aftermath of the shooting. Shotgun workup. Okay, we have a lot of patients with listed just as emotional trauma. Those are Christina Yang, Miranda Bailey, Lexi Gray, Derek Shepard, April Kepner, Jackson Avery. Mm-hmm. And then we have Greg Bevel with a skull-based chordoma, Alex Karev, who has emotional trauma as well as a remnant bullet, Lexi Gray with PTSD and severe sleep deprivation, Meredith Gray, miscarriage, emotional trauma, Linda Coulter, malignant myomas. Is that how you say that?
I think, yeah.
Russ Gammy, lightning strike, transitory paralysis, Carrie Schultz, lightning strike, punctured eardrums, epidural hematoma, Mitch, lightning strike, and Warren Griffith, lightning strike and bowel perforation.
For rounds.
Am I a fucking doctor?
You just crushed that.
Thank you.
Especially the myoma, because I wanted to call it myoxemas.
So maybe it is.
I don't know. I think myoma is right. Rounds. So we're going to kind of look at it. How is everyone dealing since the shooting? And like Abby just said, these two episodes pair really nicely. So we have Owen and Christina getting married, Christina with PTSD, and then with that as well, the difference between Christina and Owen's marriage or wedding and Christina and Burke's. Then we have Arizona and Callie in their happy pink bubble. We have Mark loving Lexi and kind of Lexi dealing with Mark loving her. Then we have Bailey and Warren. And we have Derek driving too fast and no longer being chief. Mayor not being cleared for surgery. And then we have Karev leaving Lexi and wants to keep a bullet in his chest. And then Teddy dating the therapist.
Yes.
First notes?
Yeah. My first note is oh God, Derek is driving cars now. He does this in real life, actually.
Mine is, oh yeah, Derek is ride or die right now.
I read that note before I watched and I couldn't remember. I was like, what does that mean? I was thinking it meant like, he's there for this person. And then I saw it. I was like, oh no, literally ride or die.
Yeah, he's riding or dying right now.
Should we do the how is everyone coping or should we talk about Derek first? It kind of is a good segue.
Let's just talk. I mean, I guess just how is everyone coping is an umbrella for like each character. So maybe we just talk about how Derek is coping.
Yeah, let's start with him.
Okay.
We kind of talked about this in our little Zoom hangout meeting, but like Derek dealing with it this way, I feel like is a really good nod to who Patrick Dempsey is as a real person.
Yeah.
Because he races cars and he just seemed giddy during this. But yeah, so Derek has this opinion that life is short and like you gotta live it up.
Yeah.
And I feel like he is like finding joy in the adrenaline and like feeling alive that way.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I just wanted to note, I wonder how much time has passed because like they're all healed.
It's a month.
Oh, okay. I missed
it. So Bailey took a month off. Like she says she's coming back and she took a month off.
Because all those people that got shot are like,
yeah.
Yeah, like
totally
fine.
So it's a month, okay, which I feel like is even not even that much time for being shot in the chest to come back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And be completely fine. But maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, so Derek is getting in jail, which he has an in with the police officers.
Because he saved so many lives.
So they're not like charging him with anything.
He's just being thrown in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just have like Derek is in jail. He's driving way too fast.
Yes. 120 miles per hour to be exact.
Yeah. And so he shows back up at the hospital and April gives him this scan and he's like trying to give the speech to all the doctors and then realizes
he is not thankful to be back.
Yeah. And then he realizes like, I'm not thankful. Like Chief Weber,
Where are you at, Chief?
Yeah. Like he's our chief and he quits in front of everyone, which is just so.
Meaning everything that we, all the things we went through last season are for nothing.
For nothing. He just fucking quits in front of everyone. Yep. And spoiler alert, he never becomes chief again.
No.
Like that was it for him.
Chief can.
He's like, I hate being chief. I got shot when I was chief.
Right.
I don't want to do it.
Right. It's interesting too. Like I feel like with the patient Greg, which we can talk about.
Yeah.
Just because of the pure, like should be rated R gruesome scenes I had to see. But Derek is taking risks, like not only with his driving, but like surgically and just like, he's just like ready to be alive.
Well, and what I found interesting too is like last season or even two seasons before, like Chief was very upset with Derek for taking risks.
Right.
And this time around, Chief is like, I understand. Like, I'm not going to fight you on that. He even says that to Derek.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to fight you on this. This is like pretty much not worth it. But like, are you okay? Like, Chief's like, I'm going to two meetings
a
day.
Yeah, I loved that. I loved that scene.
But I thought that was really interesting. I was like, is that growth for Chief to not fight Derek on this? Like, maybe not necessarily because I don't think Derek is maybe making the best choices.
Right.
I mean, I guess that guy lived, that kid lived.
Yeah.
And it's a healing pain, not a dying pain.
I was just going to say, like, I feel like, yes, it was risky, but also, like, in character to he wasn't, it's not like he never took risks before.
Right, right.
He always did. And I feel like Chief as in Weber, realizes that, like, it's a losing battle with him.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to be on good terms, he has to, like, trust him.
Right.
But, yeah, with that surgery, I was very traumatized by what I saw.
Yeah.
But then, like, I really loved when Derek, you know, he tells that, he grabs that boy and he's like, you are in pain. Like, this is the time to fight. And he says to the mom, like, this is a victory pain. And I thought that was really interesting because I bet as a relative to someone who's had surgery, like, there is a difference between, like, this is the dying pain and this is that you're still alive.
Yeah, this
and
is
you're
healing.
Fighting. And I thought that was, I don't know, I really liked that. I don't know.
Yeah, because not, like, most times you come out of surgery and you don't feel good, you know, but
but that's not always a
bad thing. You have to heal. And
yeah,
so
I just really loved that line.
Yeah,
my voice keeps getting really sexual.
Yeah, it was super raspy.
Yeah.
I think that's just a great line for life in general.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're not talking, like, physical pain, but, like, emotional pain.
Yeah, like
this is your pain you have to endure because you're getting over something, you're healing. It's a
yes.
great line. Yeah. Nice work, Derek, on that part.
Good, Derek. Not great getting arrested, and I loved Meredith not picking him up. Or not, or leaving him there, I should say.
Right before this wedding, which we'll get into. I just want to just shout out to Meredith. She looks hot as hell.
Yeah, I had a note about it too. I was like, this is a great look for Mayor. Better than like anyone she's had so far.
Yeah, with that like long sweater thing with that strapless dress.
And she had that big hair and that dark eyeshadow.
And it was like, it was almost like a cottony type dress. You know, it wasn't like
Linen maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. It looked great. Chunky necklace.
She looked incredible.
And she comes in there and just takes that ring from him and is like, just wanted to make sure you were still alive.
Yeah, which will, well, we could segue into Mayor maybe.
Yeah, so I guess pretty much, well, before we segue into Mayor, I just really want to talk, I think, about Chief Weber.
Let's do it.
I said, oh God, Chief is dancing. He is dancing hard in his office.
I wrote, yeah, I go, Chief's victory dance is maybe my favorite scene of his he's ever been in. Like, that's a mood. Like,
yeah,
like to,
but I thought the needle scratch was so ridiculous where it's like, and he's dancing. And then all of a sudden Meredith walks in and it's like, it was like, I was like, oh my God, this is so cheesy. Like the dancing was fine, but the needle scratch was too much.
But I love seeing him back in his element and he's sober now again.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
he's like moving things on his desk, straightening them.
I feel like I've had that day where you're just dancing and you're like, fuck yeah, I'm on top of the world. And he deserves that moment right now.
Yeah. And he also calls it exercise. Tells Meredith, it's, I just get a little exercise. She's like, okay, great.
Yeah. And so, he kept his cool with Gary Clark. Like, he really...
He's going to 2 meetings a day.
Yeah, I love that he was vulnerable to say that to Derek. Because remember before, he didn't even want to admit he had a problem.
Right.
And now he's at the point where he's like, I'm not doing great.
Yeah.
But like, this is where I'm at. Like, I just think he's had a great arc so far.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm happy to have Chief as our chief again.
Yes.
Although I know he doesn't stay our chief. But
he's putting in the work.
Yeah. But
wait, he doesn't stay our chief?
Owen becomes our chief.
Oh, God, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, yeah, it happens.
He's just be like, drama, drama, drama. Drama. Wait, is he chief currently? No,
chief is chief. Okay. Chief is chief. Okay, chief will always be chief.
Anything else on him?
I just wanted to talk about his dancing.
I'm trying to think where I had an... Oh, at the wedding, why was Adele not there?
Who the hell knows? Where is Adele?
Well, probably because she's a limited, like a reoccurring role.
Yeah.
That probably is why.
Yeah.
Budget cuts.
Yeah, she couldn't make it.
Let's talk about Meredith because it has to do with Derek.
Yes.
So, and this leads into the therapist. We're just going there.
Yeah.
So the therapist will not clear Meredith.
Right.
And she...
And seems to be clearing other people left and right.
Yes. Like people who've been shot. Lexi who had a breakdown. Like all these people that Meredith feels like shouldn't have gotten cleared. Which I'm curious how the therapist knows about the baby.
I was wondering that too.
Because that's clearly why. It's because she's not acknowledging that she also lost a baby that day.
Right. She had a miscarriage. I'm wondering, well, I feel like someone else couldn't tell. Oh, maybe he has her, no, like her doctor.
Medical notes. Yeah, could be.
I wonder.
Because there's no way he just knows. Like
Like you can't.
I'm assuming it's medical notes. You're probably right.
Yeah.
Even though she did it with just Christina and that one doctor, it has to be recorded somewhere.
Right.
I bet you're right. Also, we see that scene happen. Because what I liked about this episode is they like show each character and then they show how they reacted immediately following.
Yes.
And Meredith had like the baby removed.
DNC.
Thank you. I couldn't remember what it was called. Yeah. And it was really sad. And yeah, so I think he knows that and he's just not clearing her. And I just thought it was really, that scene where she finally does tell Derek that she's not okay, which I guess I'm skipping way ahead. She doesn't tell Derek about the miscarriage. He still doesn't know. Derek at one point says we should make a baby.
Yeah.
And like all these things. But like, I just really love the scene that she does tell him because I feel like, well, her whole thing is that she is so... Where I wrote, hang on, let me try to find it. She's worried about him every minute of every day. And she tells him that like the one thing he can control is his driving. And like, she does that great, like Ellen Pompeo cry, mm-hmm. sort of like super honest. And I don't know. I mean, it took her a little long, but I felt relief when she shared it with
us. Well,
him.
I think we feel relieved too because we're like, oh fuck, is this going to be like a whole season thing where Meredith doesn't tell Derek?
True.
You know, and it's like this built up, but she finally tells him and... Yeah, I was just like, I also was really happy. I was like, thank God Derek is not driving fast anymore. Like this
Speaking
car.
Of this car that just
yeah.
drove by.
But that he just agreed. Like, he's like, oh, okay. That's something you're asking me to do.
Right.
Like.
Well, and it was so sad that she was like, I saw you shot. Like, I worry about you every minute of every day.
That you're going to wrap yourself around a pole.
Yeah.
You know, like Derek is feeling alive by doing that. And,
yeah.
And Meredith.
Saw death
and is like. You're not thinking about my anxieties. Like, I watched you be shot and be, like, operated on. And also, I was pregnant and I lost the baby. And I can't talk. She also can't talk to him about this because he doesn't seem well, you know?
Right, yeah. Like, and she knows. Like, she sees through the driving fast and, like, all of that.
Speaking about the driving fast, the little side note, Derek asking Chief if he wants to go drive fast.
I think I'd like that. I'd like that very much.
Yeah.
For some reason, thought there'd be a cutscene to Chief doing that and then crashing. Like, I was like, oh, no. Also, like, really not foreshadowing, I don't think, but, like, Derek dies in a car accident.
Yeah, so there is
so
that.
So Meredith's worries are valid.
Yes, very valid. Do we want to talk about Meredith in regards to Christina, or do we want to wait? Maybe we wait.
Let's wait. Let's end with Christina, because I feel like she's the one that doesn't get to move on from all of this.
I guess maybe with Meredith... my last note of both of the episode is Mare gets cleared. And I really liked how she got cleared, where she was just like, because she tried so many different ways. She tried to cry and fake cry. And then she was just kind of like, I don't have any answers. Like, this happened, was finally honest about everything. And I don't know what that means. And he's like, that's a good place to start.
Yep.
Because she's finally being honest about what happened.
Right, right. Well, and I just think it really put it all into perspective when she said, like, I lost a baby that day. I lost friends. Like she's just laying it out there.
Yeah. Because that's what you realize with all the different characters. All the therapist wanted was for you to
be honest with your feelings
and what actually happened.
I also think it was important in that first episode, Jackson mentions, like, when they're talking about why she hasn't been cleared, he's like, maybe it's because you asked the shooter to shoot you.
Yeah.
And like
she's like, not funny. He's like, not joking.
Right, right. Like, Jackson was there for all of that.
Right.
So whether or not they're close friends yet, like, he saw all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to see if I have anything else. Let's wait to talk about her and Christina.
Do you maybe want to talk about Bailey and Warren? Because I feel Bailey's not doing well.
Yeah, so she went home, which we find out. And we see the actual scene where she sees Ben.
Yes.
And is just can't stop saying, like, you were playing golf.
Yeah.
I have to go. Like,
you know what's really weird is at one point he calls her Bailey. He doesn't call her Miranda. I thought that was really weird. Because I was like, I could never imagine calling John by his last name.
But you call him Johnny K.
I don't really call him Johnny K anymore. Much anymore.
Okay.
But like...
Yeah, I'd never be like, hi, Blue.
Yeah, I would never be like, Kalinowski.
Yeah, no.
Are we allowed to say our people's last name?
Should we bleep it out?
I think so.
No, I think we're fine. We said it really fast. Anyways, we did it.
This is garble.
I think that it also was interesting. So when Bailey has that, when she's on the airplane right in the beginning, and that woman is like, are you a surgeon? And all I could think about is that was the question that Gary Clark asked her. Are you a surgeon?
Mm-hmm.
And like,
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And I'm sure like she didn't have the same fear. You know what I mean? But like, she did answer yes this time versus the last time. But yeah, that it was the first question that lady asked her I forget why. There was a reason.
Well, she said, are you visiting or are you?
Oh,
and she said, I'm a doctor here.
Yes.
No,
yes.
She said, did you know any of those?
Right. But then she goes, are you a surgeon? She literally said, are you a surgeon? And
that,
I thought that was great writing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she goes home with little Tuck.
Yeah. And then it's, you know.
Oh, that scene with Ben was really sad.
Yeah. And so then like she's kind of avoiding Ben and stuff. And so anyway.
Well, he says that he can't apologize for playing golf, which one of our listeners pointed out that in the previous episode or one of the ones when he's talking about flirting, he says he has to go play golf
on Tuesday
mornings. So it's like foreshadowing that. But I just, again, I very much like, I love Ben Warren. And I love that in this scene, because like, I don't think it, not that it's not the right thing to do, but Bailey says, you know, I'm holding, she says, you are a good man, handsome, kind and smart and good, but I'm busy holding myself together with tape and glue.
Yes.
And she's falling apart. And I just really appreciated that he let her make that choice and didn't, because I think inside he's probably like, I can help you. Like, I'll be here for you. But he like let her have that. And his last words to her were like, take care of yourself. And it was really heartbreaking to me. I don't know why I feel so like, I don't know.
I felt super sad. I was like, oh God, they just broke up and I'm really sad. But also she says to him, you're too much for me right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great line. Like, I can't even focus on and like Bailey is such a person that she wants to take care of herself and she doesn't want to lean on someone else. But I also don't know if they were at that point in their relationship yet, you know, where she would even
lean on him
and feel comfortable doing
that.
So, you know, I think they were moving towards that space, but then all of a sudden they weren't. And it's like, there are all these other people that were in the hospital that day and you weren't, and you can't relate to anything I'm going through. And like, I imagine I'd feel a bit of resentment towards that.
Yeah. And I like that he said, like, I can't apologize for playing golf. But then later in that conversation, he just says, I was playing golf. I wasn't there. Like, he gets it. Like,
yeah.
And that's why I think I fucking love him, because he's just like a good dude and like lets her have her space. And like, because I kept waiting for him to say at the end when he says, take care of yourself, I kept thinking he would say, and when you're ready, I'll be there. But he doesn't even say that.
Which isn't that such love?
Yeah, because he doesn't make her, he doesn't want to like have the last word of like,
no.
And don't worry, like, even though you're having this break, I'll be there. Like, he, and this is like, we lose him for a while. Isn't he like not in the show for
a
little bit?
I think he's kind of like, yeah. But just giving someone the complete total control and space, because too, like, I can imagine after that happening to you, you feel completely out of control in your life.
Right,
so giving someone their control, like, that's what you want.
Great.
Fine.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
I will step back.
Yep.
Is the best thing I think you could possibly do in that situation, if in hopes that they will then come back to you.
Right. Like, I think it's different if you're, well, even like, I think it's different with Christina and Owen, which we'll talk about, like, they've been through a lot more shit together.
Yeah, so, I just don't think, yeah, Bailey and Ben were at that.
Right, they were still in like the fun stage.
And Owen and Christina went through this together.
Right, exactly. I really loved it. I am team Ben.
I know, it's
which
just
is so,
so
weird because I mean, he's always been okay to me, but now I'm like very impressed. I also love the scene when Bailey walks into the basement and they're all there and she's like,
yes,
I'm happy to see all of you. And like, you, it's like as sincere as Bailey can get. And it's touching because they're all just like making fun of each other and doing whatever. And like, she says that. And then she, when it's just April and Jackson left, and she says, I'm so very sorry for the loss of your friends. It like got me like really choked up.
Yeah. And when she walks into, like, everyone kind of stops and they're all really respectful to her, too.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, Bailey,
back.
Hey,
yeah.
You're back. And then she's like, I'm so very happy to see all of you. And they're all like, yeah, like, we're happy to see you, too.
It has so much more meaning than just like, oh, I miss you. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, you might not be here.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I love, too, that she says that to Jackson in April. And then there's like, but then she's like, there's a bowel something or whatever.
Like,
she doesn't care. She's just like, so sorry for your loss, but I'm not fucking dealing with this.
Like, right, it's like the perfect amount of like, I don't know, it's just so perfect.
Mm-hmm. Should we segue that into Karev?
Alex? Yes.
Yes. So Karev doesn't
deal with his feelings well.
No. And the bullet has come to the surface. We find out Teddy is like doing an exam on him and she's like, great, we can take it out. And he's like, yeah, I like to keep it, get a lot of sex pretty much. But like, because of this, a lot of...
This bullet's giving me sex.
Yeah. And... Bailey finds out about that and she is not happy.
No, and not at all. And even before that, I think, so when we get the little flashback to like post, shooting Alex, is that he like just does not talk. Lexi's going through shit, which we'll talk about. And he just does not engage with her at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like does nothing.
Can't do crazy.
No, can't do crazy. And I loved, and this is before the Meredith scene with him, before everything, Lexi calls him out. And says, I wrote it because I thought it was so badass. She goes, You think you are so badass that you lived. I am the reason you lived. And while you were dying, you cried out to your wife who left you. And like, she has so many good speeches in this episode. But like, I don't think Karev knew that he did
that. No, I don't think he knew he did that at all. Because he even looks at her like, damn, okay.
Yeah, like, I didn't really realize that.
Yeah, well, and his first thing is like, you look hot, all the sad eyes and tight dress. I'm like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, or crazy. I think he's crazy, like crazy eyes.
Yeah. But yeah, so he doesn't do crazy. Lexi had a breakdown and he witnessed that and couldn't be there for it. Like,
yeah.
Which I don't blame him for not having the emotional space for that, but also don't get in a relationship if you're not prepared for that.
Right. Like, literally, like, Lexi is having a breakdown and he doesn't even, like, put it, he walks away in the middle of it. Yeah. Like that, it's not even like he had to see Lexi through the breakdown, but he should have at least helped her in that situation.
Yeah, he got shot and then he checked out.
Yeah.
And I feel like we don't really learn, well, there's two like parts where he sort of opens up. And one is the one with, I think the one with Meredith comes first. And I'm trying to find, no, that's the one, where's the one? Where he's talking to Mare and he says like he attracts crazy. Where the fuck is my note? And basically Meredith is like, no, like you're not, like you don't do that. Where is that? I have such a
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Where like Izzy wasn't crazy. She got brain cancer.
Yes.
You know,
like Rebecca was, but that's because of the facial reconstruction surgery.
Right.
You're not that important.
Yes. There was that line. You're not that special.
Yeah, there it is.
That is one of my favorite lines. So I have a friend who has said that to me before that, like, that's almost like a hype up because, okay, so listeners, example. You're going out to the bar or you're going out to dinner and you're hating the way you look in your clothes and you're so frustrated and you're having really bad body image day. Oh, this honestly, I said this to John once. He's like, don't say that about yourself. I was like, no, it literally talks about, I'm not that special. People don't fucking care about me. When I go to the bar, not that many people are going to be looking at me. Maybe a couple people will see me. But when you're able to like humble yourself in the way you're not that special, it's actually a really powerful tool.
Freeing.
And so I feel like that is, when I heard that and then saying that to Krev, like, no, like not all this shit happened
to you. It's not about you.
Yeah, you're not that special.
Right.
And I think that was a really, really great thing to say to him.
Yeah. And then she goes, you're just a guy who's been through a lot of crap. Which I love that. And because he says he's a lightning rod for crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, dude, you're not the problem. Like you didn't give Izzy cancer. You didn't like do all these things. And I feel like, I wish he'd heard that earlier because I feel like he's feeling bad about the Lexi thing a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially when we find out later. Well, we'll talk about her next. But like, yeah, I think it's important that Meredith is always the one that brings Alex back to Earth.
Yeah.
Like always. And then he gets vulnerable with Bailey. Go ahead. No,
I guess too, the problem and that sucks with Karev is like his mother did have a mental illness.
And he did take care of her.
And he did take care of her. And so then all of these people have these like specific incidents in their life. Like Izzy was not, quote, crazy until she had a brain tumor. You know? And Lexi went through a shooting and had sleep deprivation and has PTSD, you know? And Ava had a huge trauma as well. And so all of these things then is like, well, I just attract crazy people. But none of those people were actually crazy or had mental illness, which I also want to get into at some point. I have a note in here about no one in this episode, I think, is very tactful about mental illness.
Oh, yeah, no.
And I don't think... Like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, like Grey's Anatomy did a bad thing. I think it's just interesting to point out that all of these characters are terrible when it comes to, like, therapy and mental.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're the really bad with stigma. You know?
You're right. The stigma thing is, there's a huge stigma around it because it means you can't work.
Yes.
It means all of these things. It's like bad, bad, bad.
Mm-hmm.
Even the therapist is like the villain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In this story. I agree. So Bailey then, which I thought kind of spooky, also great. Krev's about to leave the surgery and she's like, or she calls him in and he's like, what's this for? And she's like, you. Like, can you imagine you're at work and they're like, I'm going to fucking operate on you now.
Yeah, that is kind of scary.
Yeah, it's very freaky. I mean, I guess it was at the surface, so it's not.
Yeah, and he was like awake and whatever. But I love that Bailey was just like, I will remember this day for the rest of my life. I don't need a walking reminder. Yeah. Like, do this for. Then she's like, I am she's like not going to bully you.
Yeah.
But then she does bully him.
Yeah.
Which I love. It's so Bailey. Like, so I am asking you, get out and get in there and get on that table.
And he's like, yes, ma'am. I just thought it was really sad when Krev, he's like talking about Reed and he's like, I didn't even like her that much, you know, whatever. He's like, but I don't get how I was able to walk away.
Yeah.
And like, and so clearly I feel like Krev is keeping that bullet in him as like a punishment for like survivor's guilt. And like Bailey is like feeling not the same, but like acknowledging like, I'm here too. And I don't know why I got to like, why did I answer the thing that saved me?
Right.
And so I just really like.
It's nice that those two connected together in that moment.
Yeah. It was really sad. Mm-hmm. I'm also really thankful, and I have this note all over the place, that like they devoted about two episodes. I don't know if there's more, but like to them coping with this. I know with Christina it goes on longer, but like,
yeah,
I feel like it would have been dumb to like jump right back in, you know, like.
Yeah, and not act like this was a huge trauma.
Yeah. I really appreciate that about Grace.
For. I have so many more notes.
So do I. Should we talk about Lexi?
Yeah.
Okay. A, she has dark hair again.
Yeah. Okay. And so I didn't notice. I have a note about this. I didn't notice that until Jackson. No, Jackson points it out. Oh. He's like, oh, is that why you dyed your hair? And I was like, holy shit. Yeah. Lexi dyed her hair.
Yeah.
Because I think she was always a brunette to begin with.
Right.
Yeah. She just looked like normal to me. But.
Yeah. So they show the immediately following the shooting and they're having that like round table with the
like
therapist.
Like a group therapy.
And Christina's like talking about tacos and they all get distracted. And then Lexi, I'll say Lexipedia at this time, is like talking about the statistics of shootings.
And mass murders.
And clearly like she's not well. And then it shows that scene where she like there's a patient that doesn't tell her what kind of albuterol or whatever inhaler she needs, and she literally like has a freak out and is like talking about getting a gun and do, you know, like,
well, because the whole thing is she's like, if I don't know what she's taking,
right,
I can kill her. And then she was like, it would be easier to kill you if I just got a gun,
right? Like, and then it just went from there.
And Mark.
I was gonna say, yeah, we learned that Mark, well, in that scene, first of all, Alex says, that's when he has the line, I've had too much crazy for this lifetime.
Yeah.
Which is used in all of the YouTube compilations of Alex Griff.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, we learn Mark checked Lexi into psych against her will.
Yes.
Even. And he's saying that, he's yelling at the therapist saying like she wasn't ready. Lexi hears it. And then I thought this was really like so sad, but like interesting that the therapist is like, actually, like she was checked in, she had meds, she slept for however
52 hours,
and then she was fine. She was just like sleep deprived.
Well, yeah, he was like, yeah, she's sleep deprived. She has PTSD, which I'm sure all of you do. But like, he was like, the protocol is she like had a mental break.
Yep.
We gave her like psych.
Yeah.
All psych, the, yeah. Yeah. Whatever. All of the drugs. And like antipsychotics,
yeah,
is that what?
Yeah, and she slept, and then
she slept, and then the protocol is she goes back to work at this point.
Yeah.
Like she keeps getting therapy or whatever,
yeah.
But like, and I just, it's so sad too. Like, I think, honestly, I feel like Lexi handles it the best.
That's what I was gonna say, because she acknowledges that it happened.
Yeah, she's like, no, it's okay. She even says to the therapist, like, you can talk about it. You can talk about me. And she's like, see, Mark, I'm fine. Like, yeah, I had a fucking breakdown because shit was fucked up.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, I'm okay now. And I truly believe, like, she's not okay, but she's probably better off than everyone else because she's admitting that she's not okay.
Yes, and she's, like, the only one that does that.
Yes.
Ugh.
I think she handles it perfectly. And
yeah.
Then fucking calls out Krev later on and is just like...
Yeah, that was the... I just loved that.
Yeah, and then calls out Mark.
I know, which... Okay, so let's just talk about that whole thing.
Yeah.
So Mark... which has a lot of funny moments in this episode where I have one where he's asked Callie, he's like, what's the appropriate amount of time to ask someone or to propose to someone?
Oh, yeah.
And she's just like, longer.
Yeah, like not now.
Yeah, like you crazy person, not now. And so he's clearly in a space
For sure.
And I think it has to do with the lightning people.
Yes.
That speech that that girl is, we're like, you never know, lightning could strike. Like, you don't have time.
Sure, sure. And also, like, Callie, we'll get to it, but Callie's asking, like, Arizona to move in. And, like, I think he's, like, watching
their and, like, relationship progress.
Yeah, and so he wants that, and he, like, and he watched, like,
Lexi. He saw theirs fall apart.
Yeah, and he also, like, watched Lexi and, like, really deeply cares about her and wants her to be well. And so I think it is sad that, like, I know he loves her and I know he cares about her, but he does treat her like she's crazy.
Well, I wrote mansplains a couple of times, too.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, talks for her.
Yeah.
It's like protecting her from things, but by doing that isn't letting her do things.
Yes, not letting her do surgery. Like, you should just hang with me today and stuff.
Which, like, I do believe that his intentions are not that.
He's no,
not,
like, I totally agree.
Like, I don't think he's like, I'm gonna control her. I think he is like, I love her so much, I want to protect her.
Right.
Which the speech that he gives Callie about what he wants to do, I think is really, yeah. So he says like that, I don't want to wait around to be happy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting. I think that he talks about time being the thing that motivates him to get with her when time is the thing that like is the saddest for them. Like mm-hmm. they never get, like he dies, they die. Yeah. Like they do not get that time. But he says, he goes like he wants to be go through the worst with her. Like that's all he wants to do for the rest of his life. Like it is a truly beautiful testament. Like that's what you want to hear on your vows. Like right. I love you so much that like
he's telling Callie about
yeah,
what he wants.
Yeah, and then she's like, okay, fine. Like that's good. Like as long as you just say that, mm-hmm. like go do that. I just think it's like their whole relationship is poor timing.
Well, they're just misconnections left and right because ugh. Then he's like, hey, Lexi, and she's like, I had a good day today. Like, I know. I totally, she was in the right to say all
yeah,
of that. Like,
yeah.
just leave me alone.
Yeah.
And it does show that he really does love her, that he's like, okay, like, I'll leave you alone.
It is like the most agonizing relationship, I think, which is why so many people like it.
Yes.
Because we love shit that gives us tension.
Yes.
And because I think we see his motives, we know they're good and that they would be so great together. The timing is just so shitty.
Yep.
It's one of those like really hard for me to watch because it's so you want to like yell at your television like
yeah and be like Lexi like
give him one more second it's not what he meant
yeah but if he I wonder do you think she would I don't know I don't think she's
no,
she's not
there. I don't
there.
Think she wanted someone to care for her right then
no not at all and he was like he just wants to be with Lexi for the rest of his life like that's one of my notes it's like that's just all he wants to do. And she's just not there.
And that Mumford and Sons song is
like oh, throughout all the episodes. It's, just there's like two.
Yeah, it's really rough. It's interesting that like I feel like Derek and Mark's reaction to the shooting is that life is short. I need to take hold. Where like a lot of other people's reactions are not that. And
yeah.
So it's interesting how like all of their ways they react to this horrible trauma is getting in the way of them moving forward kind mm-hmm. of thing. Also Mark drinking out of the bottle.
Oh yes, I have that Marjorie. I have that note. Yeah, same thing. Just I love that Callie and Mark are on the couch together. Like no wine glasses, straight out of the bottle. He's massaging her feet. I don't know if you noticed, but like he's giving her
friends.
A foot massage.
I need a friend like that.
Oh, it's so good.
It's also interesting that that mirrors like which we'll get like immediately following the Christina Meredith scene like mm-hmm. they're together. I feel like Mark and Callie are like the next. I think Mark and Callie are better friends than Derek and Mark.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Marjorie, you're gonna lay there.
This cat, I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen.
She is leaning on my microphone. About
you might
to
hear
lick
meow
it.
Soon.
Yeah.
Okay, so we
should we talk about Teddy before we talk about Christina again, just because it's
yeah,
weird?
Yeah, I have a note in here that, oh, Teddy's dating the therapist. I forgot about this. And my next note is, oh, okay, that's good ethically that Teddy was never his patient. I'm like glad that they established yes. that because Meredith gets really mad and like, I want a new therapist. I'd be like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, I love
too.
That she comes in and she's like, ew.
Yeah, like this is very inappropriate. And
also, he's hot.
Yeah, but I do thank you, Grey's Anatomy, for establishing yes. that, yes, she was never a patient of his. And
yeah, also it's funny when she has that panic moment where she's like, oh no, he's a very amazing listener. I don't think I've ever heard him talk. Like, is he just being my therapist? Which is something that I would wonder also, because therapists are.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a lot of podcasts I listen to where they've had therapists on, and it ends up that the host talks so much because the therapist is just a good listener. And like, it ends up being a therapy session for the host instead of an interview.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I feel like that's Teddy's relationship with this guy.
Yeah.
Which Teddy also wasn't, where was she? Oh, she was in surgery and then she got out. She like wasn't involved in much of the shooting except right. that she operated on Alex.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, I don't have anything else on him. Okay, do we talk about, oh, one last little one before Christina is, we don't get much on Jackson and April other than that Jackson is really relieved in that motorcycle. Jesus Christ. Really relieved in that moment to be with Christina in surgery because mm-hmm. I think that he feels comforted by her at first mm-hmm. since they were in that together. And like, honestly, Jackson is the like little hero, remember, mm-hmm. in that situation. And then April, I feel like the only thing we get from her is like in the wedding, she like sobs.
Yeah.
Which I think is an emotional thing more than like she likes weddings.
Yeah.
I was reading it that way.
Yeah.
And also, she has that line with Derek where she's like, I got you shot. Like, you told me to stay and I did it. And Derek is like, no, I got everyone shot.
One shot. Yeah, like Gary Clark was coming for me. So.
Yeah, but that's all we really get from her. So, other than that, Christina calls her a bitch. Someone does. Like, you got cleared. Like,
oh, Meredith does.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah.
So right away I wrote, Christina's getting married. This is news, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
which I'm glad we see the proposal because I couldn't remember.
Yeah. And I couldn't remember. I was like, wait, how did season 6 end? And I was like, they definitely weren't engaged.
Should we do timeline of Christina then? Like immediately post the shooting?
Yeah. So one of the notes I did write is like, oh, we're doing flashback this episode. And I was like, I really appreciate that they did this way.
Oh my God, yeah.
I was like, I feel like it was a really good way to write this because I didn't want to like...
The immediate aftermath.
Yeah. And I also didn't want to like do like 1 week, 2 week, 3 week. It was nice that everyone just had one flashback.
Yes.
You know, I thought it was really well done. I will say that.
Yeah. So let's talk. Well, I guess before we get to that, well, no, can we go in timeline order? It's not in like, order of the show, but like
actual timeline.
Yeah. So Christina, the first flashback we see of her is she's in her house, like under a blanket, so scared. She has the chain locked on her door and Owen knocks and like she freaks out and he's like, it's just me. She's crying and like shaking and she's like mad at him because he's late. He was supposed to be home. Mm-hmm. He comes in and he's like, I'll never do that again. Like I'm here. I'm never leaving. And then he pulls out a ring.
Which where did he get this from? Why was he planning on doing this? But her response is thank you.
Right. It's not even yes.
Yeah.
And she pulls the ring and puts it on her own finger.
Yeah.
Like
she does not want to be alone.
Yeah. Like
she says that to him. Like I don't want to be alone.
Right.
And he's like, I'm never going to leave you.
Yeah. She locks herself in her house. And I kind of wrote too, like, and I feel this way too. So in the shooting scene, like Owen came in and granted he got shot, but I think like there's that, it showed it where she's like, help me Owen. Like, and I feel like Owen, I was thinking about this. It's like one of the male characters in the show, or if I had to find like a significant other that I'm named Doreen. I don't pick Owen, but he feels like someone you would feel safe with, like as far as a protector.
Sure.
Like he feels like he would jump in front of a bus for me, George.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, or just jump in front of a bullet. Like all these things. Like he feels like someone that would do that. And so I feel like that's even more why Christina's drawn to him in that moment.
Sure. I agree.
Like even Meredith I feel like she just wants that like big protector sort of thing. Yeah, so the proposal is so weird.
Yeah, Owen asked Derek to be his best man because we're kind of like brothers. I was like, oh, are you?
Yeah, and he doesn't know anyone. Who says that line where it's like, we don't even know him that well.
Yeah.
But so Christina is like planning her wedding, which is so unlike her.
No, I love this line. No white, no veil, no rice, and no mother at Christina's wedding.
It is really perfect. Yeah. So I kind of had a note that like how different it is from her wedding with Burke. Mm-hmm. So with Burke's, remember, like he was trying to have them choose the cake and the flowers. And she was like, I don't fucking care. Like, I just want to marry you. And this one, she's like latching on to all of the small things that she doesn't normally care about. Mm-hmm. And she has that line, I think it's, is it to the therapist? Where she says, I think you're either born simple or you're born me. I yes. want to be the person who gets happy over finding the perfect dress. I want to be simple because no one holds a gun to the simple girl. Ugh.
Yeah, no one holds the gun to a head of a simple girl. Yeah. I had that too. And that is where we see the scene then of like him proposing and we find out like she doesn't want to be alone.
Right.
And I wrote, oh, he's proposing. And I was like, is this the best time to be doing this?
No,
like,
the answer is no.
I don't think so. But I also think like, so Christina is thinking about her wedding and Meredith is like following her around and is kind of like, finally pulls her out of like, they're in the gallery scene. And yeah. pulls her out and is like, we're not okay. Like, I'm not okay. And I love the line Meredith says, Derek is the love of my life, but you're my soulmate.
Yes.
Such a good line. Had to say that.
It was that moment again where I was like, the show is about them.
Yeah. But it's pretty much just like, should you be doing this? And Christina is like, I'm not okay. Like, you're not okay. You had a miscarriage, blah, blah, blah. And they both kind of like storm away from
each other. Yeah. I just wrote they're such good friends because like they're honest.
Yes.
Like I would hope someone would be that honest with me.
Mm-hmm.
But also when the day of the wedding comes, they're not going to fight. Like,
yeah, because I just wrote that it was such a nice gesture to Christina on her wedding day that Meredith is just like, just puts it all aside. And yeah. like, she walks her down the aisle-ish, kind of gets married in Meredith's house.
Which I was like, dope. I want to get married at a friend's house.
Yeah.
That like looked great.
Yeah, so great. Walks her down the stairs.
She's standing, I think it's important too, Christina's standing and staring at the tumor drawing.
Yes.
Like Meredith and Derek's standing on the bed.
Yes.
Like looking at that and yeah, just, I don't know.
Yeah. And so like, I love that they get married in, I also have a random note, but I was like, I love these random ass faces at this wedding.
Yeah. I was like, who the fuck are these people?
Just yeah. like a bunch of really weird people. And I also have a note that it was a really sweet kiss instead of Owen like eating her face off.
Yes.
Like it was a very gentle
It was a sweet wedding. But I didn't realize how tension-filled the wedding is. Like, I forgot that we entered this wedding being like, holy shit, is this the right thing to do?
Oh, yeah. Like,
it wasn't like the Izzy-Alex wedding, which was, again, like, quick and not planned. You felt great about that one. This one is like, you're like, fuck.
Yeah, like, not the right timing.
Also, I feel like Amelia and Owens was the same way.
I know. Maybe Teddy. Teddy and Owen, the children.
Yeah, who like, knows?
But, then my next note is, why does Owen want to wash Christina's hair?
Well, I think because she probably hasn't showered herself in days. Like, I think she, like, hasn't done anything. And he's like, just like, what can, like, you haven't showered. Like, I'll wash your hair. You know, kind of like.
You took it in that way? I have always took it in a way of it was like a sexual thing.
Oh, no.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure he's like looking at her sexually. And he's like, I've always wanted to wash your hair.
No, I think he's saying that as like, I'll try to make this sexy, but like, you need to shower. You need to like do things.
Really? I have never, I've seen this multiple times, obviously.
Yeah.
And I've always taken it as he has like a fetish for washing her hair.
Oh my God, no, because. Like, even, I'm going to say listeners in the Facebook group, bring this discussion to, because
yeah.
I truly think it's because he's, like, looking her at her, and he's just like, you need to show, like, you aren't doing it. He's, like, pushing her, and then she has that line.
But how has she not showered in days? She just got married the night before.
I don't know, but then there's that line where she's like, he's in charge of me, and I'm going with it. I'm a bride.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's a fetish. I feel like that's
weird. No, but because before he's like, it's okay. We're just married. Let's get up. We'll have soapy sex and I'll wash your hair. I've always wanted to wash your hair. Like it's all about sex.
Right. Well, I feel like, yeah, I guess, yes, I agree with that. But I feel like he's doing it because he's looking at her in a way that's like, dude, you need to like, let's get you operating. Let's get you doing this. Like, let's get you back in your
yeah.
normal life. Like I'll wash, like.
I still stand by what I said.
That's great. I love the two opinions. I want to hear other people's thoughts.
I think it feels super eerie when they all welcome her back to the OR. Like, welcome back, Christina. Like, Teddy says that
yeah.
to her. I'm like, this is not going to go well.
Well,
like,
it's interesting that Teddy and Owen both go to Chief and vouch for her.
Yeah. And like, I guess I get why. Like, she's not going to feel like herself until she's back in the OR.
But she has not been cleared and she's not pushing herself to get cleared to be in that OR. No.
She's reading a magazine when Derek is ripping a face in half.
Yeah.
I think they're thinking about themselves. Like, I think Owen wants his old Christina back. Teddy wants her Christina back. And so they're teaming up being this'll work. Let's try this.
Right.
I also think right before that, it's important that Christina asks if it's to Meredith, is it different after you've been married? Does it feel different? And then Mary's not really. But I think Christina's starting to feel did I do the right thing? And then she goes, your marriage is filled with secrets and felons, which is great.
So then Christina goes into surgery. Jackson knocks over a tray of tools. And Christina hits the deck, obviously, because she has fucking PTSD.
It's so sad.
And she can't get up. And I feel so bad for her. And she's such a good actress. And when that one tear rolls
falls
down
sideways.
And she says she can't feel anything. And
she can't feel anything. God, her acting is good.
Yeah, it's so good. And then Meredith takes off her glove and makes her hold her hand.
She says, so tell me when you're ready.
Yeah. Meredith's just such a good friend laying on there. And also, fuck you, April, for being like, I don't think you should be in here.
Yeah.
It's like, she's obviously going and helping Christina. She's not going and doing surgery.
Well, I love that Jackson, too, is like, I got it. I'll go.
She can't get up. Even Owen and Teddy in that moment are like, Christina, you're okay. Get up. Go do whatever. And she can't.
She can't. And, they're operating. So, they're excused from, I feel like, things because, they're literally trying to save
someone's life.
But it's interesting that scene after, Christina's in the locker room in her hand and Meredith's, rubbing her back. And Owen comes in, and I think it's really important that Christina's you're wrong. She's no, you're, I was not ready. And I loved that Owen said, you're never not ready. This is a weird thing for me. You've always been the person that is prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And and she says she doesn't feel anything, and if she can't be in here, then she doesn't know what she's supposed to be, and then she gives him the ring. Which, I don't approve of Owen being so intense in that scene.
Yeah, because he, here's Owen getting all, I know, I thought you were ready. And I was like, why can't I stand his tone of voice ever? Just him being like, I know. Just calm down, dude. She just had a breakdown.
Yeah.
And you are, every time Owen gets into a situation, I think this is why I can't stand him. He brings it up a level. He escalates things with his tone of voice. And so you can't help, but then you go to the next level, you know? And it's just it drives me mad.
Yeah.
And then she gives the ring back. I was like, that didn't last long.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought too. And then the last scene with her is she's at Meredith's house and they're laying there. And I love that she goes, I thought getting married would fix me. And then she goes, he married a corpse. It's her line. It's not funny, but it's whatever. Owen fucking busts through the door like the Kool-Aid man.
Here comes Owen, just classic storming in and freaking all the fuck
wet.
Out.
Yeah. All wet too. I'd be like, take your goddamn shoes off in my house. Okay, I have mixed feelings about this speech because I am really not ever team Owen, but there are times when I have to give myself an open mind.
Sure.
And be on board with the show.
Yeah.
And so I love that he said, because I do feel like he's the only one besides those. I don't know. He's just I have felt the things you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that. And when I felt it, I took it all out on you. And now you're feeling it. And I got mad and whatever. And he's like you stuck with me. I'm going to stand by you. He says, you can be scared with me or pissed with me because I'm going to stay through it all. I'm not going anywhere without you. And I really do feel like that was Owen trying his best.
I think it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that Meredith said, I already fixed her before you came, but that was a nice speech.
Yeah, such a good scene.
Yeah. I also love that Meredith in that moment, too, encouraged her to go back with Owen.
Yeah.
You know, was like, hey, this is, you promised for better or worse. This is the worst.
Yeah.
And I think that's really true. Meredith wasn't super supportive of the marriage, but now that you chose to do it, it's been a day. This is, maybe you should go back with your husband and try and work this out.
Right.
And I love that she's like, super teary-eyed and she gets up and she goes home with them. And I do think Owen said the right thing in that moment. Maybe too a little intensely. Too intense.
Yeah.
A lot of intensity.
But I do feel like, and I don't quite remember how this all goes, but I do feel like Owen could be so helpful to her if he was less bleh.
Yeah.
Like, because he has been through shit and now they, not, this sounds terrible, like now they have something to relate to. But
right.
like now she can relate to that and like how he doesn't want to talk about it. Like, you know, and like, ugh. But yeah, I do love the way Meredith, like the way her like eye was like, I already did it. Like I fixed her before.
Yeah, but like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
The only thing we didn't really talk about is Arizona and Callie.
I just love that all Callie wants to do is ask Arizona to move in. It's not about getting married. It's not about having babies. Arizona's all worried about this pink bubble. She's calling it this pink bubble, and she doesn't want to
Because Callie's watching her sleep.
Yeah.
And she knows it.
Yeah, and I love that Callie asks Arizona to move in front of Mark while she's drunk, and Mark's like, keep going. Like, you got this. And she's like, I want you to have a blow dryer or something more.
Yeah, he goes, you're doing great. Push through.
Yes.
Like, that's right. Because
so
she's bombing so bad, like, in the moment.
Yeah, and I love that Arizona, too, is just like, that's it?
She's terrified because she thinks she's going to propose.
Yeah, and she's like, but you want me to move into a place I pretty much already live?
Yeah.
And but have a drawer and a blow dryer or something a little more romantic? Yeah, I'm down.
And then when she calls her place, what is she? She calls it, like, not moody. I don't remember, I know when, but she's, oh, dark and frowny.
Yeah.
That's what she thinks the decor is like. She needs it to be more smiley. And then when Mark at the end is like, paint it white. Like,
yeah,
what the
beige.
Fuck? Yeah, paint it beige. You have a woman who loves you. Like, what are you worried about?
And Callie's like, oh, God. So, yeah. Also, Christina would choose Derm, she said.
Yeah, over the multiplex, working at the movie theater. I thought it was interesting. Oh, yeah, let's just do our, like, I have a bunch of random
things. Yeah. One of mine is, oh my God, they are going to cut his fucking face in half.
That was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. It was really intense television. They were like cutting his teeth.
I like can't, teeth are a no for me. Like a strong no. I can't look at it. I can't think about it. Ugh.
Yeah.
I love that we learned that Jackson loves weddings. Like, because of course he does. Christina does not want a conga line. And then I had a thought that I think Christina would be a really, or Jackson would be a really good wedding date. Like Jackson at a wedding?
I thought it was really good in regards to the young boy who had his face cut in half. That good for Meredith for telling them the risks.
Yes.
And she also said, driving awfully fast, Dr. Shepherd. Yeah. The least you could do is wear a seatbelt, which is like such a line.
Yeah, such a good line.
But yeah, I thought it was really important. Like the mom was like, let's do it. Fine. And Meredith's like, oh, there's 7,000 risks that your main doctor has not told you.
I also loved, we're kind of skipping around, but the scene with, at the wedding, I just think it's important to note, Mark is staring at Lexi during that ceremony and Kepner is crying, which again, not about the wedding, but she's like right next to Jackson.
Too, I saw that.
Also, that Christina, not only does she have that panic attack, but the patient they're working on was a patient of Burke's.
Yes.
And there's that whole scene where they're like, oh, did you get married? And they're like, yes, she did. Yes, yesterday. And then I feel like what a horrible position to be in because you feel like someone who's just dating around doctors. And like, I felt like they were very respectful of that though, the patients, but still it like was not a good way to send Christina into surgery.
Totally agree.
God was in a mood today.
Yeah.
Says Bailey. That's going to be a tattoo I put on myself.
One of my notes was my car could never go that fast. Like it would never even reach
Dennis
that speed.
Dennis Quaid would not.
No.
Is this that still his name?
Yeah, it is. And that Mumford and Sons song is so epic during that surgery scene. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And I said, my God, this is so hard to watch. He was so swollen. I said, someone put him in a coma or something. And then I went, his tongue.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It was like, why wasn't he in an induced coma or something?
I feel like his mouth was like sewed shut.
Yeah, like why couldn't he be in a medically induced coma and heal from that?
They should have done that.
Dude, that looked
nuts. Do not want to wake up from
Fuck
that.
Fuck that.
No.
From your face being cut in half.
In half. Yeah, no.
Breaking your jaw.
In half. I wrote, coughing up blood before telling someone you love them.
That was terrible.
The guy's like, blah, blah, blah.
Who said son of a bitch and then said agreed? Because
I
have that line, but I
don't. Oh, it's when Bailey pulls the bullet out of
her. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I also loved the line when Meredith, she's talking about Derek to Christine, and he goes, he just got out of the joint. Let him ease into society. That was my favorite line. I think it's because my dad calls prison the joint. Like
so good.
And she's just like, let him ease into society.
I also like that they're making fun of him that he smells like urine. He's like, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In his fucking pea coat.
Yep.
That's all I have.
Me too.
Wow. What a time.
Shall we do the Harper, formerly known as Harper
Avery?
No, Avery?
Notes and trivia.
Oh, sorry, I forgot.
You do the first one.
Okay, so with You I'm Born Again, this episode's title originated from the song With You I'm Born Again, originally sung by Billy Preston and who?
Syreeta.
This episode scored 14.32 million viewers. Sarah Drew, April Kepner, and Jesse Williams, Jackson Avery, are now credited as series regulars. Oh, that's interesting. Derek's sudden passion for driving too fast is probably a nod to Patrick Dempsey's passion about racing.
Called it.
And about a month has passed since the shooting in the season 6 finale.
Interesting, too, that are Kepner and Jackson Avery the only two from their class that continue on?
Yeah.
Wow. Shock to the System. The title originated from the song Shock to the System, originally sung by Billy Idol. The episode scored 12.53 million.
Whoa, way less.
Yeah. Meredith finally gets cleared for surgery by Andrew Perkins at the end of the episode. Cool. This episode marks the first time that Alex is being operated on in an OR in Seattle Grace Mercy West Hospital. When he got shot in the season 6 finale, Lexi and Mark gave him some first aid, but he was transported. Cool.
Cool, cool.
Sarah, this was Sarah Ramirez's 100th episode as Callie Torres. Meredith finally tells Derek about the miscarriage. Okay. These are weird notes. The episode follows directly on With You I'm Born Again as April mentions that Owen and Christina's wedding was last night. Oh, so it's just like a day has passed. And Christina says 50% of marriages end in divorce, so that between her and Meredith and Derek's marriage should be fine. Ironically, in season 9, Christina and Owen really do get divorced. I thought about that.
So Harper Avery, formerly known as Harper Avery, now the Catherine Fox Award.
We agreed on a person.
I wrote.
We agreed on this.
Yeah. We thought the therapist, because for knowing when and when not to clear people for surgery, because everyone else is just kind of dealing with some trauma and shit. And this therapist is really like smooth sailing through both of these.
He's making out with Teddy.
Yeah. And it's ethically okay.
Yeah. And he is doing the good work of making sure people are okay before they're cutting into people's brains.
Yeah. So congratulations. On your award.
I'm going to give it for my scalpels an 8.
Great.
I really liked the whole therapy aspect of it and like the attention to that. I got really, I kind of like teared up in a few scenes, the Ben Warren one especially. And then also I don't know, a couple times.
You got some GGBs.
Yeah, like I just really, even Owen's thing got me feeling a little bit.
Well, I thought it was definitely a good season premiere.
Yeah, same, very much so.
I thought it was really good. I gave it 7.5 because, you know.
You just upgraded.
I upgraded it because I did do 7, but then originally I was going to do 8, but I was like, actually, did I really like it that much? And so I feel like 7.5 is great. Do we have anything else? I just want to say one more time, like, send in your shit about the musical episode.
Yeah, this is very important.
Yeah.
Send us
If you didn't listen to our intro.
Yeah, send us a voice memo to theoncallroom@gmail.com. We want to hear maybe a musical performance, maybe just your thoughts, maybe why you hate it, maybe why you love it. Literally get creative. We want to include all of your thoughts about this episode.
This is patrons and just
anyone.
Anyone who wants to talk about it.
Yeah. So, anyway. All right. We are going to call Time of Death. That was a great episode. I feel good about it.
I feel great about it. Time of Death is 2204.
Beep.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.